Well, let me encourage you here today. You know, we've been doing this teaching on the Lord's Prayer. You know, in the Bible, there is a prayer that was Jesus told his disciples, and people now have named it the Lord's Prayer. But it's interesting, it wasn't really the Lord's Prayer, it was the prayer that the Lord gave to his followers to pray. And you know, people use this expression. Some of you, if you've been around the Christian community, in a sense of you know, when people are worshiping Jesus, and you have heard that prayer. So I'm just going to say, let's say the prayer together. If you know it, say it. And then we're going to talk about one of the last things that are the requests. We've been talking about the things that Jesus told us how to pray. So disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I know there's different English words that are used there. Sometimes we get all, I do anyways. The gist of the prayer is powerful. So if you want to catch some of the messages that we have shared and you missed the messages, they're online. You know, it's amazing that we've got the technology today. And the website that we have is really well done, cwcpei.com. And the previous messages are on there. You could just, and so what I've been doing is I've been dissecting the Lord's Prayer one phrase at a time. Okay, so we've looked at these phrases. I've been blessed. I hope you've been blessed with the teaching, because I'm just thinking it's amazing that we have this opportunity. By the way, you know who's preaching next week? Brighty and Joel. Come on, Lord, do it. That's who's preaching next week. I know. Joel's not here this morning. We're going to give them a tag team. And it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited about what the Lord's going to do. Yeah, it's going to be great. Come on. See, the Lord's releasing this next generation. I want to bless them and encourage them. Amen. Right on. So it's exciting to see what God's doing. Amen. Right on. So the Lord's Prayer. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, I want you to see the picture. Okay? And you can't, even though we're taking it one step at a time, one phrase at a time, you have to see it as a whole. And if you see it as a whole, you see that the first thing the Lord gets us to do is to get our attention on who he is. And it's interesting. The first thing is get your attention on who he is. The last thing is there is an evil one. The problem is sometimes as Christians, we get to know God and our attention is too much on the evil one. Get it right. Let's not forget the order. Because once we get our focus on who God is it God, our Father in heaven? Holy is your name. You're the God above all gods. You're set apart, God, Father. You're a caretaker. You're a provider. You're a protector. That's what the word Father means. Who is in heaven? Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Now let me tell you this. This is all just wrapped, you know, bringing it to that last phrase. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Well, guess what? There's somebody on earth trying to persuade us to do his will. There's somebody else on earth who is trying to accomplish his will. And it's not God I'm talking about. Do you know there's another, we'll call it being, another force, another creature? It's the evil one. Now people say, well, don't talk about the devil. Hey, the reality is there is an evil. You know, even if you study philosophy, they talk about what? Good and? Who studied philosophy in school? Okay, if you have, there's good and evil. And they try to figure out where it comes from. Well, the Bible gives a pretty clear answer. There is a devil. There is a Satan. There is the enemy. There's God, and there's the enemy of God. So, we're saying, God, Father, your kingdom come. Okay, I want you to think about this. We're praying for God's kingdom, God's rule, His ways, His purposes to come, His will to be done. Where? On earth. Now, you've heard me say this, and this is a biblical, this is an understanding. The biblical understanding of the world in which we live is this. God created everything good. In the beginning, God created everything good. But there was an enemy of God who brought evil into the world. That's the teaching of the Bible, so I'm just giving it to you. And I just think it makes sense. It makes sense from what I see the world to be today. Now, so the goodness of God is His intent is that His ways be perpetuated. You know what I mean by perpetuated? So He said to Adam and Eve, the first people that He made, He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue the earth. Okay, so in other words, you go out, live life, reproduce, and take care of the earth and fill the earth with My goodness. Fill the earth with what I'm like. Well, the evil one didn't like it so much, so he brought this temptation. Do you remember that story? We're not going to go into it all details. He brought temptation to that our first forefathers, Adam and Eve, and they gave into the temptation. The evil one brought temptation. They gave into the temptation. So the Bible says sin came into the world. Sin is just a disobedience to God. It comes in many forms in the lives of people. An expression of sin is just, you know, so many different evil things, right? So this is what happened. So what we find is God's intention to have His kingdom come and His will to be done wasn't finished with that fall, with that failure. It was like, you know, you might say it was a hitch in the plan, but God had a bigger plan. And God's plan, even at the very beginning of time, was that through His Son, Jesus, that there would be one who would come and stomp on the enemy. And you know what? Right at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, there's a few verses there in which God is speaking to Adam, He's speaking to the woman, Eve, and He's speaking to the serpent. And in that conversation, He talks prophetically. He says to the woman, He says, you're going to bear a son, and from your seed, when you give birth to son, that seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. He will, boom, the serpent. He will crush the head of the serpent. Even though the serpent might bruise his heel, the serpent head will be crushed. And then this is all pictorial. This is picture. This is prophetic. This is a symbol. And all the way through the Bible, we see this setting up, the stage. It's like, you know when a stage is set up, you bring all the props and you're setting it up, and all of a sudden the scene is right in front of you. You know, it's like that's the scene. Well, the Bible is like setting up the props, putting pieces in place, and all of a sudden the scene is there, and the scene is on a hill called Golgotha, and Jesus is on the cross, finishing the work that God gave Him to do. In that place, He defeats death. He defeats sin, and He defeats the devil. Now, if you don't get your eyes on the finished story, when you get to those sections of that Lord's Prayer, you'll not be able to get this. This is why I'm trying to make this so clear. See, when I speak to my Father who is in heaven, who is holy, whose kingdom is to come, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, everything that God is going to do is already done in His mind. It's already, and in many ways, when I'm talking about this idea today, that, you know, even when you think about give us this day our daily bread, well, God's intent is goodness and mercy and kindness. So, you know, and all of these things that we're talking about, it's His desire to do these good things. So first of all, I want you to know, when it comes to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, it's God's will and purpose that we would pray this way. I'm going to talk quite a bit here, but hopefully this will make a lot of sense as we go. But basically, see, temptations are part of the world in which we live. Trials, troubles, difficulties are part of the world in which you live. They're part of that whole thing of the world is under a, I would use the term curse, and it's a biblical word. There is a place where even today in the world, there is one who still, okay, there's one who still puts on a pretty good show and as if he is still in charge. Now, there is a place where the devil, the Satan, has rule and authority because, see, here's the thing. Human beings have given him the right. People have given him the right to be in control. But when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we get an authority that we can enter into what Jesus has accomplished, that he has no more rights. Come on. No more rights in my life. No more rights in the things that God has entrusted to me. I don't have to give him the right to march all over me because Jesus has stepped on his head already. And in Jesus, I have that authority. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I want you to just go to 1 John chapter 5. And in this verse, there's several other scriptures. But I just, there's a verse in here that I want you to see in verse 19. 1 John 5:19. What does it say here? We know that we are the children of God and that the whole world is under the control of. Do you know that verse was in the Bible? Wow. Did you see that? There is a devil. There is a realm in which he has control. Okay, so what does Jesus say? Pray this way, our Father who is in heaven. Well, let me say this. Who really ultimately is in control? Come on now. You shouldn't be wimpy about this. Who's in control? God, Papa, Daddy in heaven, Father in heaven. There's a realm in which humanity, those who were given authority, have given the enemy control. So what does Jesus say? Well, now you start bringing it back into the control of the Father in heaven. Now you start doing what you need to do. You start praying this prayer. You start acting this way. You start living this way because the idea is that my rule, God says, my kingdom will come, and my will be done on earth. So when you start praying this way, you're going to start to see things shift because it's first going to shift in your heart. First, it's going to come into your heart. First, that the realm of my rule, the realm of my reign, the realm of my what I'm like is going to start living in you. And when you start living like that, the territory in which you walk, the territory in which you live, the place, you're going to start bringing my kingdom in. You're going to start, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start stomping on the devil's head. You're going to start defeating the enemy in your life when temptation comes. You're not going to give in to temptation, and the devil's going to take a hike. There is a place where what we're doing today is we are, as God's people, taking over land that the enemy occupies. How many of the story in the Bible, and it's an interesting story because it's all a great picture. When Jesus said to his people under the old covenant to go and claim the promised land, how many know it didn't come easy? Do you know the story? There were a lot of enemies that had to be defeated, right? And if you know that story, it was amazing. You know, it's, you know, some of you have seen the pictures, the movies, the Ten Commandments, the different stories. It's that journey into the promised land. Well, that journey into the promised land is the journey we're on. And our promised land, let me tell you, is not necessarily heaven. The promised land is here where God wants to come and demonstrate his rule and reign. Oh, we get to go to heaven at the end, and that's a bonus. I'm glad. But let me tell you, wouldn't it be great if we could start bringing his goodness, his kindness, his love, his mercy, his ways, his characteristics to earth now? In the process, what we're saying is, Lord, bring your will, bring your kingdom, bring your goodness, give us all what we need each day. And at the same time, lead us not into temptation, because there is evil here. Deliver us from evil, because evil still exists. Are you with me? So got to see the whole picture. And God's saying, guess what? That's exactly why I left you here. Listen to this, guys. That's exactly why God left me here. The day I received Jesus into my life, I became a new creation. How many of you know the Bible says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone, new has come. I basically was a follower of my own ways. I was a follower of the devil. I didn't even know it. And I followed my sinful ways and my patterns, you know, that I got from this world, which was sinful. And when I received Jesus, something shifted. I became a new creation, new person. And then God started to work in my life to make me a better person, you know, as God intended it to be. Right? Now God could have said, that's great. Now you're saved. Now you have eternal life. Now you are forgiven. You're my son now. You're my daughter now. You've become that to me. Now let's go to heaven. That's a wonderful thing. You're saved. You're born into my family. Let's go to heaven. That's what it's all about. No. God says, I'm leaving you here. For me, it's been 42 years. Remember I was 18 when I followed Jesus. 42 years. And some of you longer, some of you less. I'm leaving you here so you can bring my kingdom. So as you're living on earth, you are still under this place of temptation. But I'm telling you, you are. You know what's interesting? Listen to this. In those last few letters in the book of Revelation that Jesus addressed the church, remember those seven letters? You know what's interesting is that each of those letters says to him who overcomes. How many know that expression? To him who overcomes. And guess what? I am an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer because overcomer of all things lives in you. I'm convinced I'm an overcomer because Jesus in me is an overcomer. Jesus in me is already stomped on the devil's head. So when temptation comes, when evil wants to lurk around, I have to be convinced that I am an overcomer. Because Jesus is. Now, first of all, you need to posture yourself. You have to position yourself. You have to see yourself that way. Ooh, soon as you see yourself, oh, you, poor little you. You know, whatever. She's falling asleep. I'm just joking. She's wide awake, alert. Soon as we see ourselves as those who are like, oh, you know, life is beat me up so much, and you know, we start living like we're a victim of circumstances and trials and troubles and difficulties. Come on, we all have faced stuff in life. The message last week was on temptation, and I talked quite a bit about it. I don't want to talk a lot more about it, but it's connected with this phrase, lead us not into temptation. What the Lord is saying is, listen, I want you to pray this way. Evil exists. Temptation exists. It's a part of life. Now, I can go to all kinds of scriptures and verses to show you that this is biblical. And I think most of you would get the fact that the evil exists. All you got to do is turn on your TV. All you got to do is open your eyes in the morning. And if you have a pulse, and you look out, there's evil around. True? Right? It's true. Now, I have to pray this way. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Because temptation, like I said to you last week, are like traps that the enemy sets. It's like the lures that I use to go catch fish. So it's like lures. It's like, you know, some of you have seen the gadgets I use when I go fishing. I love to fish. And I'll put, sometimes I'd put bait on my hook, right? Are you following me? And the idea is that I'm going to trap, I'm going to trick a fish to catch the bait. Before you know it, the fish has caught the bait, and guess what? He said, that's not food, that's a hook. And he's going to resist. Too late, because he's going to my frying pan. I'm just telling you, I like fish. So the enemy's out there setting up traps. I also got another picture. It's like, you know, when you go into war, a lot of these places still have these things called landmines. How many heard of those? Landmines, right? They put these things there and they hide them in places where the enemy would come into their territory and all of a sudden they step on the landmine and go, poof. You heard about that? You've seen it? The enemy is tricky. He plays dirty. He's, you know, and the weird thing is, you know, because of our life choices and because of the way the world is pressurizing us, it's not always easy to recognize the lure or the false, you know, the bait. It's not easy to recognize that that's not danger. Are you with me? Anybody here who has so much wisdom that you got, you know, that you're so bright and so good at this that you never, you know, that you always make the right choice, you know, and tempt, you know. Anybody here? If you are, you must be in heaven and visiting for a while. But if you're on earth, you know there's temptation, and you know that sometimes you fall into the temptation. So the prayer is, Lord, lead me not into these traps. Let, you know, help, you know, give me wisdom to see the traps. Because the enemies, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that Satan is like a roaring lion. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking to devour. Now, what's interesting is this. When you look at that passage in 1 Peter 5, and is it up there now? Working on it, all right? Chapter 5, verse 8, I think it is. Is it 1 Peter? All right. Verse 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So, I mentioned this last week, and I need to mention it again. The devil knows your history. Okay, listen to this. The devil knows your history. Okay, not only does he know your history, he knows your family history. How far back does he know your family? All the way to Adam. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the weaknesses of the sin. He knows the traps of the world. Do you think, you know, there is a way that the devil knows a lot more than we can give credit for. He is wise and brilliant. He has a network of connections that, you know, that he can communicate with. And it's, well, we might just call them what they are, demons. You know, there are spirits out there that they communicate. And so they're going to do what they can to trap you. And they know your weaknesses. Huh? They know your weaknesses that are in you that you're going to face every day. They know the trap. It's like he knows us well enough to know what kind of traps to put out there. You know what I said last week? I do enjoy fishing. And if you look at my fishing gear, I mean, it's just the way it is. But I have several selections of lures. And when I go fishing for a certain type of fish, I use certain type of lures. If I go fish for something else, I use a different type of lure because I know the weakness of that fish. I know what they're looking for. No different for the devil. He knows the things that are going to tempt you, the things that are going to tempt me. So I don't need to judge anybody. I just know that we're all in this situation. that he's going to be there looking to trap us. So when we make this prayer, lead us not into temptation. We're saying, Lord, basically what we're saying, give me strength, give me grace to be able to resist this thing. I want to tell you something. This is, as we're moving on, we should kind of shift gears a little bit here. I got lots here to share, but I really want to keep it practical. So when these temptations, when these lures are put out there in front of you, and you know what they are for you, okay? Every day, so here's how it works, guys. I want to try to put a little framework on this now. There's daily temptations, daily ways in which the enemy wants to trap us. Then there are habitual patterns of life that we've come to establish. That we've come to, I'll use the word strongholds. I'll use another word, addictions. Are you getting it? So there's the daily temptations that come your way. Come on now. So what I'm asking the Lord is, deliver me from the evil one in the daily temptations that come my way. Deliver me, Lord, from the evil one who wants to trap me. Trap my family, trap whatever. So there's that daily constant of deliver me from evil that's lurking around the corner. Are you following me? There's the temptations that, hey, how many of you know that you don't have to get out of the house to be tempted by the evil one? Anybody here? You don't have to leave your house. As soon as you wake up, temptation could be right there. It's true, right? So it's that moment by moment, daily, of the enemy trying to come against me. So what he's saying is, then the next thing is the things that I have gotten into a habit of. Hey, guys, girls, there are strongholds. That these habits have become strongholds. You know what I've done? I've given place for the enemy to come in and build a fortress in my life. This thing is a stronghold. It's a fortress, and it needs greater deliverance. Hey, follow me here, guys. There's a daily deliverance from things that come your way. Are you following me? Then there are things that have allowed the enemy a foothold. How many of you know there's a verse in the Bible? It says in Ephesians 4, Don't let anger persist. Deal with it. Don't even let it go till the morning. Deal with it today, because that's given an opportunity of the devil to get a stronghold in your life. Let me tell you another one that's really big. And most of us think it's not a big deal. It's unforgiveness. It's not forgiving somebody. Unforgiveness is a stronghold of the enemy that'll eat you up. Because it caused bitterness. It'll cause anger, bitterness. It'll just eat you up. You know what? The thing is, when we think, and I talk about this so many messages, you heard me talk about this so many times, unforgiveness. Because I know it's constant. Stuff happens. People offend me. I get hurt. Someone did something. And all of a sudden, I'm holding a resentment. Are you following me? Anybody here with me? And all of a sudden, it's one of the devil's tools. One of his biggest weapons to trap us. Because unforgiveness is like this, guys. We're the one carrying it, and the other person doesn't even know he did it most of the time. The other person doesn't even know they hurt you. And you're carrying it all. And you're going, I'm not going to forgive. I'm just going, whatever. It's like, I'm following what I'm getting at. And who's carrying the weight? You. It's one of the most ridiculous things you can imagine. I'm going to talk about some victory issues here in a minute, how to get victory. But I'm just going to lay some things out. So when we said deliver me from evil, we're actually saying deliver me from the evil one and all the evil he brings. Are you following me? That's how the verse itself could be translated, deliver me from evil. Or could be translated, deliver me from the evil one. How many have seen both translations in your Bible? Because the word itself is not that clear. I think better translation could be, deliver me from the evil one, which is everything under him is evil anyways. Okay? So, but there is a place where, so, then there is this other type of stronghold or another type of, where something has been in my life, something is operating as, could present itself as evil and could present itself as being hurtful and harmful to me and to other people. That's evil, right? Would you agree? That is there generationally. How many of you know there's a thing called generation evil, generation sin? There's something which is perpetual. You know, I'm allowing it to function in my life, and it's because it was present there. And I just allowed that thing to continue. See, there's, when you look at the evil one, he wants to attach itself. He wants to attach himself. Right? If he finds, it's like fly trap. See a fly trap? The fly trap has all this gooey stuff. Okay, the gooey stuff is stuff that's still on your life, and the flies come. But get rid of the fly trap, the flies don't bother you anymore. So there's things in my life, things that so I have to deal, there's some things that I have to deal with. I remember this thing, some of you know me talk about this before, but anger was a big issue in my life. As a matter of fact, you talk to Shelley, I am not kidding, in our early 20s, my 20s, back, right into my 30s probably, it wouldn't take much, put it this way. I held it for a long time, but something could trigger it like that. You know what I mean? Something could trigger my anger like that. And I had some spells of anger coming out of me that were just not good. You know, you do everything, you pray, you ask God, you do all the things that you need to do as you ask Holy Spirit, but eventually, breakthrough came for me when I was in a prayer time with somebody, and that there was some ministry that was happening that talked about some strongholds in your life could be generational. Possibility that there was anger in your forefathers. Are you following me? When I say generationally, I'm talking about in your family background. And all of a sudden, and it was just a revelation. We just started to pray, and all of a sudden, something connected. I could see it. See the connection. When I saw the connection of that thing, I just had to say, wow, this is unbelievable. How could, that I just see God just showing me, man, this is connected. And you know what I had to do? I had to repent of my own decision to following in the trap. First is, when you repent of generational thing, you got to recognize that you participated. I participated in it. But then I had to find the source. It was like, a generational, another verse in the Bible is called generational iniquity. How many heard that expression? Generational iniquity. You know, it's interesting. That's probably a better phrase. I don't have time to teach on this today, but I'm just going to mention it to you. Iniquity is a tendency or a bent towards something. Sin is the outward action. Iniquity is the bent towards. Something in me that has a bent towards anger. Following me? So when that revelation came to me that this was I participated. I'm not saying I didn't do wrong. Are you following me? I had to repent of my own anger. Ask God to forgive me. But then I recognized that this thing came from a generational thing, right? And when a revelation came to me that, through a prayer ministry, Holy Spirit-led prayer ministry, it was like, yeah, this is not of God. And I've done everything that I think I could do to get over this. I can't seem to break free of it. And in this prayer ministry, the Lord gave that revelation, and the power was released to deal with this generational curse and this generational iniquity. And I repented on my behalf and behalf of those. And I did not want this to be in my life or the life of my kids anymore. Amen? So we cut this thing off. We broke it. We broke its power. We put the cross of Jesus Christ, the power to demolish all curses, before in the picture. And the Lord gave great relief. Now, does that mean I am completely free of anger? No, that thing still might want to try to come. See, the thing about it is when you're free from some spirit, free from something, it still wants to be entertained. It still wants room in my life. So I say, Lord, deliver me from evil. That evil that still wants to come. I'm not giving it attention. I'm not giving it room. You know, so there's some, you know, some, of course, there's a lot more involved in that. You know, here's the other thing. I hope you're getting some of this, are you? I know I'm all over the place, but I hope I'm making sense. So the other thing is this, guys. The enemy likes to do a lot of the activity the enemy does. He starts with your mind. How many know that's where he's starting? He comes to your mind, right? So the Bible is so clear. Listen, now I want to go into some what we need to do to have victory. Who wants to know what to do to have victory? Come on. Okay. So the first thing is when the enemy comes with these daily evil things that he wants me to step into, you know, like these temptations. And so I'm saying, Lord, deliver me from evil this morning. Even, you know, get up in the morning and say, Lord, keep me from temptation, deliver me from evil. Lord, lead me. What we're saying is, Lord, I don't want to fall into the enemy's trap. Show me what the enemy trap. Show me what's a false thing. Looks like a food, but it's not. In Jesus' name. Put on your God eyes. Show me, Lord. So we step into the day, daily activity, and then we step into this thing, maybe more intently, the stronghold. Maybe we need to go into a time of a ministry time, a prayer time with somebody, so we can identify those strongholds, identify those generational curses, those generational iniquities, right? So we can be free. Come on. I want to be free. I want to be more free than I am today. I still want, so we go into this place. The first thing to recognize is the enemy is going to speak to my mind. Whenever temptation came, in the Bible, when you see the story of Adam and Eve being tempted, how many know Jesus was tempted? And you know what the interesting thing about temptation? This is just a bonus, free one. This is free, doesn't cost you anything. So when Jesus was tempted, it's a good thing for us to understand, he was tempted after the highlight spiritual experience of his life. Jesus was baptized in the water and Holy Spirit came on him like the dove came on him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know that story? And it says after being baptized, be filled, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. How many know that? Ooh. So there was temptation. So point I'm making, the free one you get today, is that when you have a high spiritual experience, watch out. To think the devil's going to be easy on you? He's lurking around. He's like a roar. It's interesting. It says he is like a roaring lion. You know what? His roar is louder than his bite in some ways. You know, so what? He's like, he's roaring. Who is the greatest of all? Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? He's the lion. And he'll just swallow up that devil like this if you give Jesus a chance. So Satan comes with his temptation. And some of those temptations are like, oh, you know, you're weak in this area. Or nobody's seeing you. Nobody's watching you. You can get away with this. I don't know what he's saying to you, but there's temptation. And evil's lurking around the corner. He's talking to your mind. Are you following me? All right. I can entertain those thoughts. Or I can recognize where they're coming from. So the first R, recognition. First, this I want to give you a few. Recognize. Recognize the voice. There is a voice. And his voice is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. You know how I recognize? All I need to do is stop and think, is this thing godly? Is this thing good? Is this thing beneficial to me? Is this thing good for me? Is this thing harmful for me? Is this thing going to harm somebody else? Or is it going to be good for them? Quite simple, guys. Practical. Is it true? Is it noble? Think of these things. Remember that Philippians 4 passage? That's a great passage. Are these things noble and worthy, and you know, these things good, like, oh, so I need to entertain God thoughts. You know, last week I spoke on, we mentioned Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. If I'm being entertained, being around people who are just making jokes, dirty jokes, you know, talking about all, guess what? Eventually, I'm going to think like that. Or, he says, but blessed is the man who doesn't walk this way, Psalm 1, verse 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So I need to have God thoughts. That's why it's so important to read your Bible, you know, to get the God thoughts. You know, I'm telling you, the relationship with God that comes through Jesus Christ is the best of all. I'm telling you, the good that, you know, I said this last week to you, the good that's done in the world today, by and large, are done by those who follow Jesus. I'm not saying everybody has to have some goodness. Follow me. Listen, lots of goodness takes place. Lots of goodness takes place by all kinds of people. But, you know, the first people to go to help situations and for relief situations, over the years, hundreds of years, it's been like that. Now, everybody has some goodness. Follow me, right? But there's something at the essence of a follower of Jesus just says goodness. It says give and don't expect. It's a life of Jesus. Has he sacrificed himself? So we live that way. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you something. In the next little while, I've been inquiring by different organizations and different places how we can help that Mozambique. You know, the flooding in Mozambique that devastated a lot of places. And if you're thinking, so I've gotten some feelers out there, feelers, to see what would be a good organization that we can give through. Amen. We just need to be on top of these things. That's part of our mandate. So think of these things. So that's first thing is to recognize. Second thing would be not only do we recognize these things, but we also, and it's sort of connected. I guess I've already gotten into the second one. Second one is refuse to believe the lies. First is to recognize. Second is to refuse to believe the lies, but believe the truth. So we're already in that direction. It's a mind thing at this point. It's like, I'm not entertaining these thoughts. I'm not listening. It's just not truth, right? The third thing I want to talk about, and it's a very strong biblical statement. It says, submit to God and resist. Right. So the third one is resist. So resist the devil. So, you know, it's interesting when you think about it this way. It's not just, I resist you, devil. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out. You know, we have all, you know, I'll tell you, you can get all excited about fighting the devil. But let me tell you something. If you don't have it in order, you can say all kinds of stuff. And he's laughing at you. What authority do you have? See, the authority that I come to God with is my understanding who my father is. Hey, the understanding that I have who my daddy is. When I walk into the arena with daddy, devil flees. So what do? I submit to God. Don't forget that first part. I submit to God. I submit to God as my daddy. I submit to God first. I recognize who my dad is. I recognize the power that I carry. The power that I carry is not my words. That's why I find these people that praying, casting this out, binding this thing. Let me tell you, you could say it with your mouth, but if you don't have that faith behind it, if you don't have that confident trust behind it, it's that sense that God is bigger. And guess what? You got to take a hike, devil. That's why the verse is the way it is. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. There is a place to bind and to loosen. There is a place to cast off. Are you following me? But there's a place of understanding who your daddy is first. And when I have that understanding that my Father in heaven is bigger, that's why the Lord's Prayer is the order it is. Our Father who is in heaven. And the last phrase is, deliver us from evil. I hope you get the word today. I hope this helps. Because once you start to see the order and see how it functions, then things will just flow. Even right now, I'm just going to pray that, you know, that God will show us things. I just really feel maybe some soft music, maybe. I don't know, just something. If you have something there, maybe Rivera, if you got. I just feel for the last few 5 minutes we have, I just want to give you an opportunity to step in to this. In whatever capacity God's asking you, and maybe the temptations and the evil lurking around you has spoken its voice to you. You know what I mean? You're hearing. That voice is louder than the voice of God, who is good. So today, I want you to give you an opportunity to step into this. Take some step. It's like the Lord inviting you on that beautiful beach. Just go back to that beach scene again. He's saying, step into this. Step into it. You know, just trust me with this. I got you. Evil, maybe there's some things that are going on in your life that are still, you know, you're feeling evil intent and it's evil. People around your family situation, it's evil. You're saying, how can that be? But let me tell you, get the idea in your mind. Get this truth in your mind that God is greater. You know, even Jesus, when he was on the cross, he could have easily called thousands of angels at his side. If you read the story, it says he could have called legions of angels to come to his aid. You know what it says in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 2? He didn't retaliate. He did not threaten. He didn't even say, you know who you're doing this to? I'm the Son of God, guys. You have no idea. You know what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2? He submitted himself to God. He didn't retaliate. He submitted himself to. He submitted the judgment to God. I want to tell you something. Some of you have people in your life, situation in your life that has evil intent. I want you to submit it to God. Instead of you being the judge and the jury and the executioner, how about you say, God, you know best. That's right. I'll let you take care of it. How about you, you know, releasing forgiveness to somebody is not saying they didn't do bad. It's not saying they didn't do evil. It's releasing to someone greater than you who's able to deal justly. And releasing you, taking the stuff off of you that you don't need to carry. How many don't want to carry that anymore? You don't need to carry it. Just say, God, I give it to you. I surrender it to you. I submit to you because you're greater. You're showing me your love to me. I extend mercy. On my part, I just forgive them in Jesus' name. Can you do that? How about if there's things in your life that you're holding on to, judgments or unforgiveness, can you just release that to God today? Don't give the devil a foot of anger. If you have some type of anger towards something, bitterness, can you just give it to God? How do we do that? Well, it's quite simple. Just say it. Let's just say it together. God, I thank you for loving me and caring for me and caring for my family and the things that I care about. And this thing has happened that has hurt me, hurt my family. And I can tell you, I put my name in there. I still have stuff, a sore spot in my life. Come on. I have a spot in my life that I got to keep giving to God. Can you say, I surrender it to you? Say, I surrender it to you. I submit to God. I let you be the judge. I release all judgment that I have to you. You're the best judge. You deal with it. Forgive me for carrying this. I repent. I trust you. You're bigger. You're my daddy. You'll take care of me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you guys, it's huge. I got hurts in my life. I have had hurts that things that were done to my family. And I can easily rise up that thing can rise up in me. But I have to constantly say, deliver me from evil. The enemy will keep raising up his ugly head. But I'll tell you something. The head of the enemy has already been crushed. As soon as he starts to roar, you know what I got to say? Hey, as soon as he starts to roar in your life and tries to bring these things back, you tell the enemy, you're already defeated. You read the last book of the Bible, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Read it. I read it. Yeah, he's still playing dirty tricks today, but I have the authority in the name of Jesus to have victory because Jesus has defeated the enemy. Day by day, I can have victory over things. Day by day, those strongholds in my life that still seem to creep up, I can have victory. Amen. The generational curses that still want to creep, that operate. As soon as God shows me, I recognize it. I reject it. I cut it off and break it. In the name of Jesus, I'm free. Come on. There's a lot more to be said today, and I don't have time, but I hope you're getting some of it. And there's victory. I declare over each of you that you're going to walk in victory, that you're going to experience more mercy in your life. Let me tell you something. You, the Bible says about judging, judge not, lest you be judged in the same manner you judge others. I don't want the judgment. I don't want judgment of God. I don't want judgment of others. So I just release over you forgiveness today. Oh, come on. Hey. I say to you that as you are forgiven, God has looked upon you with favor in Jesus' name. And you're going to receive favor. Oh, one more verse. I got to finish with, guys. It was in my spirit all day long. And it's just the victory. I said it to you last week, but you got to hear it again. See, all of this requires the strength of God. And I so thank God that it's not my ability that's going to give me victory. It says in that same Titus 2, verse 11, I quoted it last week, and if you want to bring it up, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And I want you to see this because it's the power of God that gives me grace to overcome evil and the stuff that's in the world. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, all humanity. Verse 12. It. What's it means? What's the it? Say it again. And what's the grace of God? Okay, let me tell you, by and large, grace of God is God's ability when I don't have it. God's enabling power. God's ability. God's strength. God's favor towards me. I don't care what you say. It's God's ability. The God's ability saved me. That same ability that saved me teaches me to do what? To say no. No to the temptations. No to the evil lurking around me. It gives you strength to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. How many are glad about that? Man, I can just lean back on God and say, Daddy, your grace is sufficient for me. Because the devil's pointing at my weakness. Hey, devil's pointing at your weakness. Don't look on your weakness as something that's going to cast you off. I just say, well, okay, you know, I just say to the devil, okay, I agree, I'm weak. But guess what? He's strong. Come on. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, I pray for the release of that in Jesus' name. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. She's got her eyes closed. She's not sleeping. She's just on her own world here. Having fun with my friends here. So, Lord, I just pray for a release of grace. Come on. Release of the grace of God in a greater measure for you this week. That you're gonna step back into grace this week. You're going to step back into his strength. When you feel weak, man, I'm telling you, I am going to hear testimonies of people say, you know what? I stepped into grace this week. I stepped into his power. I looked at my daddy in heaven. He was there for me. So the devil had no chance in hell to get me. What did the pastor say? No chance in hell. Yeah, he did. Because when my Father in heaven is bigger in my life and in my thoughts, and I'm not telling the devil, that, hey, here's a target, come and get me. I'm just saying, I'm showing him who my daddy is. Do you see what I'm getting at here? I'm not out to pick a fight with the devil. And sure, nor should you be. Guess what? He's coming fighting anyways, roaring around, trying to destroy your life, destroy your family life. I'm just not going to entertain him. That's so important, guys. Don't entertain the devil. Jesus didn't entertain the devil. He just dealt with him. In Jesus' name, amen.